And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day. Get this one. Where it all rests. This is not going to be what you think. Where it all rests. Plus, we're going to do something that's challenging for me to ask and for me to contemplate, and that's ask an honest question. We'll have a chance to talk to the professor of retirement, our own Marty Schneider, going to join us live, and then we'll close it out with a DDD called Where to Live.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities. Oh, man, I got a lot of those. And so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 K-PRAISE, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back, but stand by for SRN News.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The White House is blasting a Washington Post story about Jared Kushner's contacts with Russian officials.
Presidential spokesman Sean Spicer criticized the Post and others for citing anonymous sources in their stories.
Stories come out that are patently false, to see narratives that are wrong, to see quote-unquote fake news.
He dismissed stories that said Jared Kushner tried to establish back-channel communications with the Russians, but then cited two top administration officials as saying back channels can be an appropriate part of diplomacy. Greg Clugston, The White House.
The Pentagon says it has shot down a mock warhead over the Pacific and a success for America's missile defense program. The test was the first of its kind in nearly 3 years, and it was the first test ever targeting an intercontinental range missile like North Korea is developing. The military says an interceptor rocket launched from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California slammed into the warhead as it traveled outside the Earth's atmosphere after being launched from a test range on a Pacific atoll. Correspondent Zira Shackley reports that the Manchester Victoria rail station has reopened after last week's suicide blast that killed 22 and injured dozens.
Manchester Mayor Andy Burnham says the city has pulled together through what has been its darkest week. Police are trying to recreate attacker Salman Abedi's movements before he detonated a bomb at an Ariana Grande concert. British officials are under pressure to explain how Abedi was able to carry out his plot undetected.
Meanwhile, Ariana Grande has announced she will play a charity concert in Manchester, England on Sunday, joined by big names including Coldplay, Justin Bieber, Katy Perry, and Pharrell Williams. A police union says the firing of the white officer who fatally shot a 12-year-old black boy was unjustified and politically motivated. Cleveland police announced discipline against Officer Timothy Lohman related to the shooting of Tamir Rice. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 51 points, the NASDAQ dropped 7, the S&P lower by 3. This is SRN News.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of White Fields Ministry. Since 1953, White Fields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to White Fields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
What if I could tell you when a wildfire was going to happen? Of course, I can't, but shouldn't you be ready anyway? Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
For joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. A couple things to tell you that are on my list, O'Rooney. One, if you want to send us an email, davidspoon at kprz.com. Two, if you want information about the comedy night that's taking place Friday, you can call the station 858-535-1210. Unfortunately, I didn't tell Laura anything about it. So you might want to either get directed to me or just have her take your name and number, and then we'll call you back with any additional information we have. I'm just telling you. Let's see. Not that. Don't care about that. That's interesting. I did watch hockey yesterday. I thought it was pretty good till the end of the game. Not. Okay, that's that. This segment brought to you by our good friend, Sam Rasul. Now, Sam is not a regular realtor. What does that mean? Sam was born a Muslim and then became a Christian. And even now, there are moments where that decision has some consequences for his life, as my own decision to become a Christian from being Jewish. There's consequences to these things. But Sam made a commitment to the Lord. He is much more powerful even than I know, so that's why I have a lot of respect for it. Making this decision to say, I'm going to stand in my Christian faith, I'm going to lose all my family, I'm going to do my best to do business with the Christian community, and I'm going to do it right, I'm not going to take advantage, I'm just going to tell them what's going on, and I might have lost mothers and brothers and sisters, but I have mothers and brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God, which he does. And then he offers himself in a couple of different ways for our KPRZ listeners. One of the things that he does is he will help you out, not just if your house needs fix up, which is very awesome, where he'll take up to $25,000 for you to fix up your house. Then he takes it back out at the close of escrow, doesn't charge any interest. But he doesn't do this program with everybody where he takes 25% of the commission. If you buy a house through Sam or sell a house through Sam, he takes 25% of that commission and directs that 25% of his gross commission to whatever ministry or church you want. And that's kind of a cool separate deal. That's its own little world. And so we really appreciate that he's able to take that and give to ministries. All these ministries, not just some of them, we find that to be awesome. ThinkSam.com, that's his website. That's how you get in touch with him. That's probably the first step you want to take. It doesn't matter if you're only thinking about doing it. Talk to somebody so you can know, and not somebody who's, you know, young in the process. Doesn't mean you can't talk to him, but make sure you talk to Sam. Won't cost you a penny. No obligation. You don't have to sign anything to talk with him and just kind of figure out where he's at. His number, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM. And still, Tugboat Todd and I say to you on a regular basis, if it's not for you and somebody else, we say, send them to Sam. There you go. Hey, you're right there for that. Good job. All right. I never want Tugboat Todd to feel like he is stuck where he has to always, you know, do stuff like that. But if he can make it and we can do it together, then we do it. That's kind of how you do many things in life. Thank you very much, Tugboat Todd. All right, let's get ready. This is going to be a little theological, but I'm in that little theological mood. It's called Where It All Rests. This is where the rubber meets the road. Meets the road. The rubber meets the road. That's right. The rubber meets the road. Where is that, Dave? I'm glad you asked that question. Luke chapter 20, verse 1 through 2. And this is a interesting view of Scripture. One day as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple courts and proclaiming the gospel, the chief priests and scribes, together with the elders, came up to him. "Tell us," they said, "by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Here's where the rubber meets the road. Jesus was teaching the people in the temple courts. Good, got it. He was proclaiming the gospel, which, as you know, gospel means good news, right? We can use a lot more good news. He proclaims teaching, and he's proclaiming. Some people have made some strong distinctions between teaching and proclaiming the gospel. Teaching is actually instruction towards the character of Christ. Proclamation of the gospel is introduction to Christ. Could be. I wouldn't freak out one way or another. Works for me. But the scribes and the elders, they come in with the chief priests, and they're like, just a second. By what authority do you do this? Now, the scribes and the elders were not getting along with Jesus, and this is a relationship that maybe started off in one place as just being mildly frictionous, and now it's like in big-time level frictionous, and now it's they can't stand him. And so they're the actual societal authority, and that's why they asked this question. They wanted to know if Jesus had special authority that they were not aware of, or did he have something that they didn't have? Did he have some kind of letter or something that gives him the right to come in and alter culture and teaching and societal norms? I mean, how can he just come in and do this? So they ask him the key question. They say, by whose authority? And what I want you to understand is that question is the key question in every discussion you can have about the kingdom of God. By whose authority? And this is why that is important. What you find out about societal structure is most authority is derived by either a continuation of a certain amount of traditions, or the authority is established by a military might, and that their policies become law, so they are the authority, or it becomes a structure of the people and the leaders trying to find, you know, maybe a best path system, which that part's really not that bad. But all of these things are the essences for authority. In the Catholic Church, for example, they use the Bible as authority, but they also use church tradition as a big part of the authority. Evangelical Christians use the Bible as their authority because they believe the Bible is the Word of God. Everything that an evangelical, born-again, Bible-believing Christian does is pulls their authority from that scripture. Does that mean everybody has the same conclusion? No. There's different ecclesiologies. There's different church government structures. There's different eschatology. So that it's not a requirement that everybody has the exact same conclusion. But what it does say is that scripture is the authority. And it always comes down to that same question. Do you believe that God created the universe? Yes or no? And if the answer is no, then you have to determine where your authority comes from. Is it from your own mind? Is it from your own reasoning? I've heard TV people, some that are on the air and some that are not on the air anymore, who have said that my authority comes from my assessment of these things. But see, what the problem with that is that if you just pulled up a mirror, you would recognize that that person's authority is them. And that's a problem, right? We need to have the authority that comes from God. Jesus Christ is God's Christ, God's Messiah for the people. And we believe that in understanding that God's the one who holds the authority, he who creates the universe has the capacity to write a book. We don't see that as bizarre. We don't see it as a stretch to think that God can speak, then the universe comes into being, and then he wants to write a book. We don't find that weird. We don't find it even, I think some of us don't find it even all that amazing that they find an old text, and it's exactly like the text we have now. We don't even find that amazing hardly anymore, because we expect that. But when you're having a discussion with somebody, when you're having a talk, and you're trying to nail down where they come from, the one important element out of all of those things is to understand where the authority comes from. And when you have a discussion and a person pulls away from Scripture's authority, it's your responsibility to figure out what that authority is then they're using. Well, what are they using? What is that authority? Who is that authority? How did that authority get established? While they're trying to change the definition of marriage, who establishes that authority? Well, we're working our way to have the Supreme Court redefine the word marriage. So the Supreme Court is your absolute authority? That's going to be your personal absolute authority, whatever they say. Because before they said slavery was fine. So I'm just curious if you're agreeing with that decision. Oh. But see, the Scripture doesn't change. Man's places of authority and man's traditions alter, and all of that changes. But God's truth doesn't change. Kingdoms change and cultures change and opinions change, but the truth never changes. Jesus is the truth, John 17:17. It is the word of God that is the truth. Show them thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus is the truth. The word of God is the truth. Man's fleeting capacity does not hold the truth. Simple question for you. Where is your authority? Simple question in a conversation. By the way, it was sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Simple conversation. Where is your authority? Where is the person's authority that you're talking to? That's all you ever really got to know if you know, want to know where the conversation's going to go. That's why they asked. Jesus' answer, I am the truth. That was his answer. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
K-Praise, the Christian station.
When we realize the depth of our need for mercy, we can more readily offer mercy to others.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Soshi Dixon. Soshi writes, "When I complained that a friend's choices were leading her deeper into sin and how her actions affected me, the woman I prayed with weekly placed her hand over mine. Let's pray for all of us." I frowned. "All of us?" "Yes," she said. "Aren't you the one who always says Jesus sets our standard of holiness? So we shouldn't compare our sins to the sins of others." "That truth hurts a little," I said. "But you're right. My judgmental attitude and spiritual pride are no better or worse than her sins. And by talking about your friend, we're gossiping. So we're sinning," I said. I lowered my head. "Please pray for us." So she continues, "In Luke 18, Jesus shared a parable about two men approaching the temple to pray in very different ways. Like the Pharisee, we can become trapped in a circle of comparing ourselves to other people. We can boast about ourselves and live as though we have the right to judge and the responsibility or the power to change others. But when we look to Jesus as our example of holy living and encounter his goodness firsthand, like the tax collector, our desperate need for God's grace is magnified. As we experience the Lord's loving compassion and forgiveness personally, we'll be forever changed and empowered to expect and extend mercy, not condemnation, to others. Spend time in God's Word every day of the week with the Our Daily Bread mobile app and ebook. Go to getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
Is your sorrow too great for you to bear? Jesus Christ can give you comfort and companionship.
Billy Graham.
You who must go through the valley of the shadow of death. You who must say goodbye to those whom you have loved. Take heart, take courage. Our Lord Jesus Christ is more than adequate for your sorrow.
That's because Jesus died on a cross to pay the penalty for your sin. If you surrender your heart to him, he'll give you a life filled with peace, joy, and happiness, even during times of suffering and sorrow.
I tell you, there is joy in following Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins at this moment. Receive him as your Savior. He will come into your heart. Start reading your Bible, spending time in prayer, and know the joy of walking day by day with Jesus Christ.
Ready to get started? Go to findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Is this you?
Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Do want to let you know you can reach us by email. You can reach us by phone, as you well know, 866-K-Praise, 866-577-2473. There's different stuff on our website that gives you the different events, different things that are taking place. So a couple of programming changes. I think they had some programming changes on the AM 1170, The Answer, because we have now Mike Gallagher on, right? So he's been on, and he's doing good. I had a great meeting with him. He's a really nice guy. I mean, he's really passionate. Wow, I really like that. But he's been doing radio. Radio was created with a crank or something like that, and then he was there that next day or something. And he's been there radio a long time. He looks young, but he's just been doing it forever and a day. Let's... Cool. Great to meet them. We're going to have, as I have mentioned before, we're going to have Rick Warren on the show in the up and coming, as well as a few other people that you are familiar with and a few other authors. We've been working strong with Regnery to make sure the authors get on our show as well. So that's always a good thing to happen, too. All right. Let's see. Missed that. Got that. Missed that. Got that. Okay. Let's get into our DDD, which is going to be more personal. It's like you can do a DDD is devotional diamond of the day. And we've explained this before. So I'm reading my Bible, and currently I'm reading, I read two different translations. I do my theological study out of four different translations, and then you got the Greek and the Hebrew, and then depending on which ones you're using there. And in my devotionals of reading, that's where I pull the DDDs out of. Because I'm reading and something strikes me, and I think, and then my brain starts thinking about it. And then I'll even look back at an old DDD that I wrote because I might have had a new thought about an old thing, kind of try and merge them and keep it as fresh as I can. So this one's called An Honest Question. Do we have a sound for this? Honest, we do. Let's play the sound for An Honest Question.
Honest questions, honest questions in my heart.
Did you find a song that said Honest Questions? Wow. You're like a master find sounder person. That's amazing.
I even amaze myself sometimes.
That was pretty good. I did not think you were going to come up with that. Comes out of John chapter 5, verse 5 through 6. Now, I want you, we do these DDDs, and some of them are, I think you would admit, some are instructional. I mean, they're like, this is the way we ought to do this and approach this, and if we're not doing it, then we should work towards that. And that's, I think, the core of what we talk about. But a few of them get a little theological, because, you know, kind of like break into, you know, this applies to this, this applies to this. So we do some theological applications. And then sometimes we just cover a scripture because it's just cool. It's like, wow, that is so great. And maybe encouraging. This one is a search insider kind of DDD. Search inside. Look deep inside. Here it comes out of John chapter 5, verse 5 through 6. One man was there who had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to get well?" I've mentioned this and we'll mention it in the future. 38 years. Now, Tugboat Todd, I can't remember exactly, but I mean, how long have you been alive? You are right at that place, right?
Yep.
As long as you've been alive, that is how long this guy was afflicted. Tough life, right? Tough life. And he's lying there because he's not able to jump up and down, folks. And Jesus asks a question that you would think is, you'd think that's the question. I mean, you might say, you know, what happened? Do you have family that cares for you? Jesus goes, "You want to get well?" It just seems like so right there in the guy's face. Like, well, you want to get better? Yes or no? Do you want to get well? I mean, is that what you're looking for? And the reason that I think that he asks a question like that is this. I think some people who are sick or who are prone to sickness, some people like the attention of being sick. You can laugh at me and disagree with me, but I know that when I'm not feeling good, as my wife lovingly said, my wife's my best friend. She tells me two things. One, I am the worst patient ever. That's the first thing she says when I'm sick. And then two, she says, sometimes I think when you're sick, because you know you're getting extra effort out of me, you like that. And it's like, yes, it's true. I mean, if I get sick, I get extra pampered. Yeah, I like it. And if you're going to tell me you don't, I don't like being sick where I can't do things, but I like being picked. Yeah. But some people like it too much. And they live in that sickness affliction. They live in that bad place, so to speak. They like the attention that their sickness brings them. We would even sometimes say that those people are addicted to being a victim. They love being the victim so bad. Everybody in the world has done everything in the world against them. They're normal and everybody else is abnormal. And they're like in a kind of a false reality realm. There's other people, you know what? They're just comfortable. It's not even that they need the attention, but they have settled that that's their lot. And they don't, I'll just ride this out until the trumpet blows. And there's no other approach to it. And that also can have a lot of negative impact, because then there's never an anticipation that anything can really ever change, and why should it? And that's, you know, they're just comfortable in there and they can ride it all the way through. So you got some people that like the attention and maybe play the victim too much. And I really think that victim card's a big issue that we'll get into down the road. And some people are comfortable and some people believe that they deserve the struggles that they go through, that whatever it is you're going through, you're so rotten, you deserve it anyway. So who cares? Now, there's a greater theological truth to that, that we deserve nothing of benefit from the we are entitled to no thing from God. Zero. You're entitled to nothing. God may give you something, but your entitlement to it is zip. He doesn't owe you. He will never owe you, ever. So that's an important concept. But to understand that you can't go to the other extreme and go, if I smack my head against the rock, I simply deserve it. If I bang my foot in the door, I simply deserve it. Every bad thing that happens to me is not enough bad things. I need more bad things to happen to me. Those are people that are really trying to find some kind of evening out, because they're so bad that they think that this is going to kind of, you know, bring it into a common balance. That's not realistic either. people that want attention or they're sick or they're victims, people that are too comfortable or people think they just deserve it, they're not going to get better. But Jesus said, do you want to get well? And there are some people that want to get better. And that's who Jesus is talking to. A person that wants to get better. Here, I know you struggle with sin. I know all the pastors are perfect and nobody ever has any sin. I mean, come on. But do you want to get better? Or do you want to just stay in it? That's what Jesus wants you and I to answer. Do we want to get better? I think we should say yes on every level. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back with our very favorite guest. Don't go anywhere. The Lord, my soul.
David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Hey KPRZ friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted KPRZ partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins talked about a school employee in Maine whose job was threatened because of a private conversation.
This is not the Soviet Union. This is not China. This is not North Korea. This is America. This is Maine. This is the stuff I warned was coming as a result of the outright hostility we were seeing from the Obama administration. That is empowered these people, these antagonists, these enemies, really, of faith. Look, it's difficult. It's losing a job, potentially, for standing for your faith. So many people will shrink back and go silent. And here you have an educational technician who works with special needs students who's willing to stand up and say, you know what, this is not right.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
There's a real danger today in the name of openness and inclusiveness to rewrite the Bible in the image of our own personal theological choices. This is Jim Garlow. And what you end up with when you attempt to rewrite Scripture is ambiguity and incoherence rather than the original, utterly coherent, consistent, and life-giving message of the authentic Bible. The history of the Bible is clear and open. Orthodoxy has survived great difficulties, intense persecution through courageous preaching, holy living, martyrdom, and the life-changing power of the gospel. Unfortunately, in the name of scholarship, protagonists of the gospel seek to impose another version of history. When Mel Gibson released his movie, The Passion of Christ, he said, "Critics who have a problem with me don't really have a problem with me in this film. They have a problem with the four gospels." Mel got it right. There's more at jimgarlow.com.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. techno version of our very own Fiddler on the Roof. Got nothing else to say about that. Just have to enjoy that. Sometimes we are just that crazy. Or I should say, Tugboat Todd is just that crazy. Man, that's a nice way to say that. Thank you very much. Hey, on a guest, our very own Marty Schneider has had a couple of weeks off. Now he's back. You can reach Marty, 1-800-727-PLAN, 1-800-727-7526, or you can go to theretirementprofessor.com, theretirementprofessor.com. Marty, sir, how are you?
Hey, David, it's been a while. I'm doing great. I am, however, shedding several layers of skin from a little too much sun, but aside from that, I'm doing great.
So your big struggle right now is you got too much sun in the last 2 weeks. Is that what I'm getting?
That's pretty much it. It was, you know what's funny, David, is I have these two conferences, and I attend them every year, and I get these continuing education credits that are required, and one of them I was a speaker at, and this year it just so happened that they were back-to-back. You know, literally 1 week was one conference, the following week was the other, so that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
All right, I'm going to believe you for right now. I'm not going to pursue you too far in that one. All right, okay. Talk to me, my good friend, because it's been a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing in the United States of America besides turning on the television and going, is the Beverly Hillbillies on? Because you turn the TV on, it's like you can't even follow any channel. Any channel with a real great sense of, you know, see Dick run, run Dick run, see Jane run. You can't do it anymore. So what's going on?
You know, complexity, global complexity. I mean, you and I, David, have talked a little bit in the past about how, just the degree of animosity that seems to be kind of prevalent these days between the, political sides. And even, really, David, even within the political parties themselves, they can't seem to agree on much either. So it's as difficult and challenging a time, I think, to govern. And, of course, you've got the president that's, a little bit of a different character, kind of does things his own way and not out of typical protocol. And, what's ironic, David? In spite of all of that stuff, we are still right at or near record highs on all the stock market indexes. Today they were down a little bit, but they closed last week at, again, record highs. And in spite of all the chazarai going on here.
That's a good word. That's a good word, buddy. I like that.
Yeah.
All right, so do they not understand this one major concept, though? They're talking about Russia and the White House, and they're talking about appropriate and connections, behavior, backdoor. They're talking about dark or shadow government. They're talking about this, and we're all sitting there going, drop our premiums. What?
Yeah.
How do they still not get that this is still the big issue?
Yeah, I don't know how they don't get it. I think some of them do. And, this is where the political infighting, David, within the parties where the Republicans got hung up, over a couple of sentences and provisions of the replacement. And now we're at the same issues relating to tax reform, which was, a major platform. And that seems to be kind of stalled because there's some disagreement on, what that ought to look like. So, you come into this new regime, this new presidential regime, you say, okay, you got a Republican president, you got a Republican Senate, you got a Republican House. We're kind of optimistic. And that's what I talk about, this idea of kind of price to perfection, where the markets have been anticipating that the things you and I just discussed will get done. And it's priced the investment markets as if they are getting done. And my concern, of course, is that if they continue to stall out, then investors are going to, at some point, recognize that, and these markets could go the other way very quickly.
All right, let me ask you a bizarre question that's coming out of left field. But, hey, why not? You're back. So, it's a perfect time for it. So, I did hear that they were considering making some changes in the educational process and on the loans. And, I myself have gone back. I'm in the middle of my own study for my master's degree in theological studies, which has, proven to be time consuming. But besides that, what is this a good time still to get an education for people? People want to go back and up that educational level? Or is this a time it's like, well, maybe I ought to wait and see what they're going to do?
You know, I tough one to answer. I think that there are question marks, David, around what the loan programs and repayment programs and what that's all going to look like. That's uncertain. But I think in my heart of hearts, I kind of tend to believe on a personal level that anytime you're pursuing, you know, your educational pursuit, assuming that you're called in that direction, I just struggle to think it wouldn't be a good decision to, you know, pursue that if the doors keep opening up, because I do believe that, you know, ultimately those kind of credentials can open doors that you might not be able to open otherwise. So I'm a big believer in that. But, you know, you're right. I mean, there's just uncertainty regarding the loans and the loan programs and what that's all going to look like. I don't know, and I don't think anybody does right now, honestly. I can tell you one thing, David, that's gone on that's kind of a bit of a game changer in my world. The Department of Labor has verified that the date for the so-called fiduciary rule, which will be implemented effective June 9th, so just in, you know what, you know, less than 2 weeks, it's going to require financial advisors, folks like me, that give advice on retirement accounts, things like IRAs and 401ks and 403bs and anything that is retirement specific. They're going to be mandated that they act as a fiduciary in those recommendations, must act in the best interest of the client. And, of course, this was very controversial, and the brokerage firms fought this like crazy, and, you know, lawsuits came and went. And but ultimately, the DOL prevailed, the Department of Labor prevailed on this, and June 9th is that date. Now, it doesn't have a huge impact on me because that's the way I've been operating for, you know, quite a while. But for the traditional brokerage community, that is a transactionally-based relationship where they earn, you know, trade commissions and brokerage fees, It's a big game changer for that world, for sure.
All right. Now, let me ask you that, because I know a little bit about this. This is where I'm, that hidden knowledge that I have that I don't tell people about. So when somebody's doing a 504 offering and they want to try and raise funds, and then somebody says, well, I've got an IRA that I've got 10 grand that's doing nothing, I can put that in there. Uh-huh. Do they then become fiduciarily responsible because they've directed in that way, even if they're not broker, even if they're agent of issue? I mean, do they then bear a responsibility for directing it that way?
If in fact it was their recommendation. Now, if the investor came upon that information and was interested and pursued that as their choice, their own personal recommendation for their own account, then they would not be in a fiduciary relationship. But if somebody reached out to the investor and proposed this as an appropriate and suitable investment for that account, David, now you are in fiduciary territory.
Wow, that is big then. So how does that operate when you have a smaller offering and you have an agent of issue? Because there's no way he's not going to say it's beneficial if he's trying to raise funds in their own deal.
Yeah, and here you're absolutely right. And number two, it even gets a little more bizarre, I think, because if somebody were using non-retirement funds, just say you had some money in the bank and you had that $10,000 and you were willing to put it into this offering, in that case, you're not bound by the fiduciary rule because it wasn't retirement-specific funds. So this is retirement-specific funds that is under this fiduciary rule, not non-retirement funds. So, again, it's like, you know, boy, somebody could rip somebody off. As long as you're not ripping off their retirement funds, you're okay.
Wow. That's bizarre. But, I mean,
right.
that whole process then, so for some of these houses that try to move IRAs back and forth, that's going to create quite the tension.
You people. Bet.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
I didn't
huge,
think about
huge,
that.
Huge, huge game changer. And, you know, again, where the leaks in the boat appear to be in this thing is nobody's quite sure yet how this is going to be enforced. The Department of Labor is not an enforcement agency, and so there's some thought that it might ultimately end up over on the SEC side, the Security Exchange Commission, which is more of an enforcement arm. But they're still haggling that stuff out. And the enforcement date, now dig this one, David, talk about bizarre. The rule is implemented June 9th. The enforcement date is until January 1. So most of us are kind of thinking that what that means is they're giving advisors this roughly 6-month period of time to try and figure this out. and get it fully up and operational by January 1 when the enforcement date takes over, although we still don't know who the enforcer is at this
point. Wow, that's amazing. Is there, but it's not retroactive to prior IRA investments,
no.
Is it? Okay,
no, it is not.
All right.
See, no,
Mari,
no.
I know a lot more than people know.
Yeah, you surprised me on this one, David.
Isn't that sad? I think it's sad, too. Listen, folks, if you listen to what we just said and you went, huh? That's why you got to talk to Marty. Right there, because your funds are your retirement funds, the money you have, the people that tell you what to do with it or open those opportunities, they should have a responsibility to do it in a proper fashion, and you ought to be careful because, you know, it wasn't too long ago that we understood there was one born every minute. So it's like you got to be aware of what's going on. You need to get in touch with somebody who knows the business, and that's Marty Schneider. There's few people in San Diego that have the reputation that Marty has, which is a stellar reputation. You get in touch with him by calling 800-727-PLAN, 800-727-7526, or go to his website, theretirementprofessor.com. Excellent, Marty. I really appreciate you talking to me about that.
Thanks, David. Always good to be back, and I look forward to chatting to you next week, brother.
You got it. Thank you so much. Ladies
Bye-bye.
And gentlemen, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. We're going to take a short break and then come back with our Facebook post. Don't go anywhere.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. Since 1953, Whitefields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
When we realize the depth of our need for mercy, we can more readily offer mercy to others.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Soshi Dixon. Soshi writes, "When I complained that a friend's choices were leading her deeper into sin and how her actions affected me, the woman I prayed with weekly placed her hand over mine. Let's pray for all of us." I frowned. "All of us?" "Yes," she said. "Aren't you the one who always says Jesus sets our standard of holiness? So we shouldn't compare our sins to the sins of others." "That truth hurts a little," I said. "But you're right. My judgmental attitude and spiritual pride are no better or worse than her sins. And by talking about your friend, we're gossiping. So we're sinning," I said. I lowered my head. "Please pray for us." So she continues, "In Luke 18, Jesus shared a parable about two men approaching the temple to pray in very different ways. Like the Pharisee, we can become trapped in a circle of comparing ourselves to other people. We can boast about ourselves and live as though we have the right to judge and the responsibility or the power to change others. But when we look to Jesus as our example of holy living and encounter his goodness firsthand, like the tax collector, our desperate need for God's grace is magnified. As we experience the Lord's loving compassion and forgiveness personally, we'll be forever changed and empowered to expect and extend mercy, not condemnation, to others. Spend time in God's Word every day of the week with the Our Daily Bread mobile app and ebook. Go to getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
Land for a poet, I
local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California, where you just had 2 hours of potpourri, right? Potpourri? Is it potpourri? Is it?
I think it's potpourri.
It's potpourri, not potpourri. I don't know what that is.
You saw that in Colorado.
Okay. What?
Potpourri.
Oh. Yeah, that's, boy, I don't know what happened to those guys. Anyhow, let's just move on to the next big subject. So thank you for listening to the show. We appreciate that. Anytime you want prayer, you are welcome to send me email, davidspoon@kprz.com. It is not as though our prayers are special. It's just that if you want other people praying for you, we're willing. And that's good enough. And if you ever want the audience praying for you, we're willing to do that too, as long as we can state it in a way that will, you know, communicate it but not put the person, you know, in an uncomfortable position. Simple as that. All right. So you just heard that little, you know, home, little discussion or little sound as we began this. This is coming out of 1 John chapter 2, verses 27. The title, Where to Live. Where to Live says this, as for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. A couple of plays on word here, which are very quite fantastic. But John, in writing this in 1 John, says, look, you've got the anointing. There are people that do teach, oh, you got to do something special for the anointing. I'm not one of those people that believes that you have to do something special. I'm one of those people that believes that when you get saved, you get everything you need. It doesn't necessitate that you're open to everything that the Lord may want to do in your life. I'm confident that if God was doing in this 40th year of my Christianity, if he was doing that in my first year, I might have run and hid. You know, it's like you'll grow and you learn and you develop as it goes on. But there's an anointing that comes from the Lord via the Holy Spirit that is a part of your Christian walk. There's some people that will argue the anointing of God is, you know, has to do with the Spirit of God and that's what's in you. Well, the Holy Spirit is in you, and the reason the Holy Spirit is in you is forging out the character of Jesus Christ, and oftentimes in ministry, the Holy Spirit may be upon you, fulfilling ministry in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Kind of an easy way. It's overly simplified, and you can probably mess that up theologically, but if you want to just put it in compartments, that's one way to do it. But you have an anointing that you received, and in the anointing that comes from the Lord, there is a teaching that goes with that anointing. A lot of people will say, well, this is where we get to do extra biblical stuff. No, it is not. The teaching that comes from the anointing of God is simply this: abide in Jesus. And the word abide means to make your home or to live. So what the Holy Spirit under the anointing that you walk in teaches you is you should be hanging out in Jesus. Nothing weird, nothing bizarre, nothing unique. Your life as a Christian should center around communion with Christ. That everything you do should have Jesus attached to it. Now, one day we'll get into a deeper discussion on the Trinity, which is really one of my, I love actually discussing it. You know, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Some people can see that as a simplified, you know, I have a brain, I have a heart, and I have a body, but you can call me David. That's a great way to understand picture-wise the Trinity. It's not perfect, but it's good. Here's the key, though. The teaching that comes from the Lord that you and I need to remember, that you and I need to walk in, is this. Live in Jesus. You want to know where to live? You live in Jesus. You don't live to the pleasures that you have because they will ultimately cause you death. You live to Jesus because that will ultimately bring you to life and life eternal. So you know what you do? You focus it in the Lord. The Lord's been trying to teach us one of the same things from the beginning, from Adam and Eve, all the way in Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, and that is this: live in the Lord, because he loves you and is with you, and you do your best when you live in him. When your life is centered around all that he is, all that he says, and all that he does, that's when you have the best in your life. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break, and then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.